Teenage Thoughts. I'm your host, Amaya Scott, and today I'm going to be reading some scary stories because I am too lazy to figure out an actual topic for this week. So I decided, because I did want to do this before, that I would read a bunch of scary stories to you guys, because apparently some of you like my voice and listening to me talk, so this should be interesting. And I'm a part of the No Sleep subreddit. You guys can find that link in the description of this episode if you guys want to read your own. But today I am going to scroll through and find a few that I want to read to you guys. Things that I find interesting, whatever. So sit back and relax. Get some snacks, as Corey Kenshin would say. No, I'm kidding. No, it's grab your snacks. Anyways, get a drink, because I know I need a drink of water after I'm going to be reading this bunch. But, yeah. Oh. These all seem interesting. Let's see. I'm going to read all of these. This one. Wait, actually, I want to see what ones are trending more than newer ones. I'm gonna read the top ones because okay, so this one is called Don't Try the New VR Horror Game. Okay, let's see how long this one is. Oh, this one's very long. Okay, well, first story, like I said, is called Don't Try the New VR Horror Game. Apparently it's a series, so let's see what this one is. Normally I'm a really quiet person, but the pandemic hit me hard. It hit everyone hard. Like many people, I was found with a lot more time on my hands than anticipated. Sure, a lot of it was spent doing college work, but I soon found myself bored. I guess a few of my friends did as well, because after much persuasion, I found myself buying the latest horror game for VR. I knew spending my money was really bad right now, but I was okay. I had a good savings built up, and so when this horror game came up for the third time, I finally caved in and bought the game and headset. The headset was like your typical VR set. It had straps and the standard goggles that went around your head. There were no extra controllers, which I found a little odd. One of my friends, who we'll call Riley, already had the headset and game combo and said it was great. So with much reluctance, we also convinced our other friend, who we'll call Cameron, was very reluctant to get to the game at first as well. It took a bit of bribing to get him to join, but he ended up buying it as well. The first day I played the game was Halloween. I took the day off from school, silenced my phone, and set up my living room for the VR playing. I sent a quick message in our group chat to make sure the others were ready as well. And while I waited for a response, I tied my hair back in a long braid and settled on the couch for some classic YouTube. Finally, both Riley and Cam confirmed they were ready. Navigating to our group chat's voice channel, I set up myself with my headset, sliding over my head and adjusting the fit. The sound of the others joining the call echoed through the headset speakers, and the screen was currently black as we had agreed that Riley would set it up since he had better internet. I was home due to the virus and managed to have a night free from my family. "Can you guys hear me?" I asked tentatively, waiting for their replies. "Yes," came Cameron's first, followed shortly by Riley. "Okay then, I'm ready." The black screen was getting disorienting, and I wanted to get into the game quickly. I heard Riley tap a few keys on his keyboard, and then the screen changed. We were greeted with a generic, simplistic loading screen. It displayed the game's author and company name briefly before the effect of flickering lights that turned it off. "I hope you guys also turned off your lights," I muttered. "It's really dark in here." "Yeah, same here," Riley said. I have a nightlight on, but that's about it, Cam admitted, which made me laugh. Of course you'd leave a nightlight on, I teased. Come on, this game can't be that scary. The banter was interrupted by the main menu of the game, and Riley quickly tapped a few more keys and greeted us to a lobby, and our characters soon spawned in. We were outside in a truck, with Riley as the driver and myself in the passenger seat. Cam was in the back peering through the windows. We're in front of the house, he observed. How do you move again? You kind of just do, Riley said. It's subconscious, really. It's really quite cool, don't you think? Kind of weird, I admitted, testing it out by moving my arm in the game. I felt completely submerged in the game. I knew I was standing out in my living room in front of the computer, but it was as if I wasn't consciously aware of my environment outside the game. It was very disorienting, but I didn't say anything because I didn't want to chicken out. Earth to Eve, Cam was waving his hand in front of my face. Are you coming or what? The passenger side of the truck was opened, and Riley was outside holding two flashlights. Sorry, just tired, I lied, carefully exiting my vehicle. Riley handed me the flashlight, which I turned off and on. Then I turned and looked at the house before us. This map of the game had a farmhouse standing directly in front of us, off of a narrow road that was blocked off by some fences. The log cabin was two stories and had a few windows lining out in the front. The three of us hesitated from the front porch, peering out from the windows. Well, I'm not going in first, Cam admitted. No way. Scaredy cat, I muttered, stepping in front of the opening door. The first thing I noticed was the sound. It was like stepping into a different world, fully submerging myself into the deep end that was the game. I lost all connection with reality, and my focus was on the house in front of me. Directly in front of me was the living room. It was small, with a fireplace on the wall to the right, with a big glass window centered in front. Two flowery, faded curtains lined the window. The living room looked like my grandma decorated it. A worn-looking couch surrounded by two wooden tables. In front of the window was a rocking chair, exactly like the creepy chair that you didn't want to find in any haunted house. Next to us was a door with a small foyer, with a staircase leading up to the upper floor. Next to the living room was another small hallway that led off somewhere to the right. After taking in the small house, I entered cautiously. My hand brushed the light switch, which made me flinch. Recovering quickly before either of my friends noticed, I flicked on the light and flooded. Oh, I flicked the switch. Oh my god. My dog needs to shut the fuck up. Oh my god. Sorry. Anyways. I flicked the switch and light flooded into the small foyer. Let there be light, I exclaimed dramatically, flourishing my hands as if doing some kind of magic trick. Riley rolled his eyes, while Cam just laughed at my corny joke. The game was simple. We had to investigate the house, find paranormal evidence, and then we could leave. Any ghost inside had a chance of killing us after a period, but that was fine. It was just VR. We would be able to view our friend's perspective if we died. It was just a creepy game that we could turn off at any point if we got too scared. Right? I ventured towards the living room, and in this game, each of us was equipped randomly with a ghost hunting equipment. I had a camera, Cam had carried an EMF reader, and Riley had a spirit box to communicate with any ghosts inside. I'll go upstairs, Riley volunteered, slowly creeping up the stairs. The distinctive old house creaks filled the silence as he advanced. Cam opened the door to the left and peered inside. Oh, it's a kitchen. Do you think there's food? How can you eat in VR, I asked. Well, you can try. And with that, I was left alone as he disappeared in search of virtual food. The house had been abandoned for some time. According to the game's description, the owners had just up and left. In the living room, a few magazines were scattered on the coffee table, and a blanket was thrown haphazardly on the couch. Suddenly, the light in the foyer flickered off. I let out a startled shout against the wall as I once more plunged into darkness. Cam poked his head out from the kitchen, and I turned to face him. What happened? The light went out. I went forward towards the lamp, pulling the string. I think the power's out. We were each equipped with a walkie-talkie in order to communicate better, and I unclipped it from my belt and held the button. Riley, the power's out. Do you know where the switch is? Nope. It's just pitch black up here, even with the flashlight. I wonder if the ghost's up here, came his tiny response in the small radio. His tinny response, my bad. Probably, I mused. I mean, that's typical for horror games, right? Cam had exited the kitchen, and I followed him to the stairs. I shined my flashlight up the stairs, peering upwards towards the landing. It was as if the light was sucked up by the infinite darkness, and I shuddered a little. It's really dark up here, Cam said, and to the walkie, echoing my thoughts. I led the way to the stairs with Cam shortly behind as we ascended upwards. The darkness poured around us as if the shadows themselves were a pool and we were entering it deeper. Our flashlight beams meandered left and right until they fell across Riley's form, who was posted near the door. Who was posed at the closed door. Guys, he whispered as we approached, there's something in here. Listening quietly, I could hear it. There's quiet sobbing coming from in the room. Well, that'll do it. There's definitely something in there, I whispered, hoisting up my video camera from around my neck. I pressed a button, and it whirred to life. Then I slowly nudged the door open with my foot. The crying immediately stopped, and I immediately noticed something was wrong, because I could smell it. The god-awful scent with an old, musty room mixed with the smell of rotten meat hit me like a punch to the face. I backed up, bumping into Riley as I retreated from the room. What the hell is that? I shouted as I stumbled backwards. How was that even possible? Somewhere in the distance, I heard a door slam shut, but my brain was too preoccupied with the smell to understand what was happening. Neither replied as they were both gagging, retreating down further to the hallway until they left me alone in front of the door. I slammed it shut, following them both backwards down the stairs. The three of us, holding our noses and coughing in the horrific smell, raced towards the front door. Cam, who was in the lead with the mad dash to escape, suddenly stopped, causing Riley and I to run into him. I can't open the door, he cried, pulling frantically and out the closed door. Well, let's just take off the headsets, Riley suggested. As if on cue, the three of us reached up to take off our headsets. I could feel my fingers close around the straps, pull them over my head and temporarily disoriented by the darkness in my living room. But instead of being in front of my computer, I was in back of the truck, Riley next to me, with Cam in the back. Wow. Very scary. It reminds me of, like, Phasmophobia, I think that's how you pronounce it, that video game. It's basically that. That was interesting. I wish it was a little scarier. Like, I feel like that's too predictable. Like, as soon as I was getting towards the end and they were like, oh yeah, let's take off our headsets, I was like, I feel like when they take off the headset, it's just gonna be them back in the same place, like in some sort of living room in the house. Like, it was good. It wasn't bad, but I found a secret room in my house, and this is how everyone died. What? What do I do about a disappearing room? I went to Catholic boarding school, and all inquisitors hated each other. I'm a driver in the back convoy. Job number 3 got under my skin, and I stayed there. A I set out to find my missing girlfriend. What I found was an unending road. Cursed tapes and how to avoid them, part 13. She's made of porcelain. I took a job as a farmhand, and I think there's something in the woods. I think I might read that one next, actually. My sister went missing, and I think I'm next. That one sounds good. I found a journal in a crawl space under my house. Does anybody know anything about this? If you find the Teddy Bear Chronicles games, walk away. It wasn't the rain. I was a search and rescue volunteer. Here's a story I want to share with you. Rescue volunteer. That one sounds interesting. I think I'm gonna go back and read the job as a farmland. I think there's something in the woods. I feel like that one might be interesting. So I'm gonna read this one. Sorry if you hear a lot of background noise. I'm not in my normal filming space, so there will be my dog barking throughout this entire process, and I'm also in my bed because, like I said, I am lazy and I just want to get something quick out there, so I'm very tired. And I do like doing this on a daily basis, so I do not mind. Okay. I took a job as a farmhand, and I think there's something in the woods. It's always confused me how people want to run away from the countryside. It seems so romantic to city people. And the idea of rolling fields or forests becoming one with nature, whatever that means, it's not completely true. I mean, I've been confused about it since I started working out here. I decided to take a gap year and get out to the city. Get out of the city, okay. You know? I thought it'd be good for me, I guess. My parents suggested it since they know my aunt has friends, Jim and Luann, who live out there in the country on a sheep farm, and I thought, what could be better than that? A lot of things, actually. Being a farmhand kind of blows. Call me a city slicker all you want, but there's just something unappealing about shoveling shit out of a barn. The sheep are cute, at least, so it could be worse. So I'm here, I guess. The farmhouse is nice enough, if a little dusty and spider-ridden. My aunt's friends are good folks when they aren't trying to set me up with their daughter, Prudence. And the pay is pretty decent if I can stomach... And the pay is pretty decent if I can stomach the shit smell. Interesting. James is a pretty good teacher, and I'm a good learner, so he got me off to snuff the duties quickly. Feeding the sheep, mucking out the barn, and hanging around the pasture to make sure none of them get eaten. James and Luann and their son Dashiell shearing the sheep. It's the spring thaw, so they're happy to have an extra set of hands around to help since Jim's shoulder has been bugging him. And it's good to feel needed. I spent a lot of time outside in the pasture with the sheep and their dog, Ace. I'm not always alone, and sometimes Josh comes around to chat and share coffee. I'm glad he comes around. I feel safer when he's there, since he actually knows what he's doing. It's easy to know how alone you are when you're in the pasture, especially since it's the wet season and there's fog in the air constantly. When I'm on the far end of the pasture, I can hardly see the house off in the distance. I find it pretty peaceful for the first few days, sipping coffee and watching the sheep graze without a care in the world. On the sixth day, Dashiell comes up with me for a job. Sorry, apparently I cannot read. I thought I could, but it seems a lot more difficult than it needs to be. He's carrying a box of tools under his arm, wearing his line jacket and that big crooked tooth smile on his face. Hey, Jack. Dad said there's an old well in the woods, he says. Yeah. What about it, I ask. He said he wants me to go and cover for him so he can take a look at it. He doesn't want to head out and do it on his own because of his shoulder, so he wants me to get it for him. He pauses for a moment, rubbing his nose. You want to come? Sorry, hold on. Let me just see how long this is. Okay, it's not that bad. Okay. It's a decent break from standing around in the fields. Dash is good for conversation, and the woods are just beginning to come alive after the thaw. It's pretty beautiful at this time of year, and the air is cool but not freezing. The birds are chirping in the trees, and it feels like a breath of fresh air. That's kind of how it is right now, I feel like, because spring is coming, it's more... It's not winter, really, anymore, but it is a lot cooler than springtime normally is. It's always a nice feeling. That's why I like fall, because... Especially the end of fall, it's like... I don't know. Anyways, we find the clearing pretty quickly. There's a stone well in the middle of it, bordered up by decaying planks of wood. The moss clings to the stone and the wood patches, while the grass is dead around it. The bird song sounds further away here, off in the distance. An uneasy feeling settles over me. I look up at the dash, but it doesn't seem like he cares. Oh. Sorry, dash is lowercase, so I can tell. I look up at dash, but it doesn't seem like he cares, since he just walks up to the well. He wraps his knuckles on the wood, and it looks drenched and rotting since it's been raining the past few nights. Doesn't look too hard to open up, he muses, setting his toolbox down and rummaging through it. My hair is standing up at the end for some reason. Feels like I'm being watched, almost. So get the fuck out of there. I shuffle closer to Dash and keep an eye out on the tree line. He pulls out claw hammer. Do you mean a claw hammer? Okay, well, damn. It looks comically small for his massive workman hands. Okay, interesting. He starts with the nearest bond to him and pries it off easily, the rotting wood splitting through the nails, holding it down onto the stone. The other boards come off just as easy. Dash peers down the well, and I join him. I almost get a feeling of vertigo of how deep the well is. A shiver runs down my spine, and a feeling of cold dread settles in my gut. I glance at Dash again, and again, it doesn't seem like he notices anything wrong. Well, that sure is a well, he says blandly, laughing at his own joke. I try to laugh along, but it's weak at best. Yeah, it is. Should we go back and get Jim? I ask, taking a few steps back from the well. He nods in his agreement as he packs up his toolbox again, and I immediately feel relieved. The whole walk home, I feel like something is watching us, but I don't say anything. The rest of the day goes over as normal. Watching the sheep, mucking out the barn, feeding the sheep, watering the sheep. The whole time I can feel something watching me from the woods, and every time the woods are in sight, it feels like I can see something just out of the corner of my vision, but there's nothing there. There's nothing there. I feel safer when I'm in the house. The day moves into the night, we have our dinner, and I almost completely forgot about it. I retire to my room, and they've converted the attic into a guest room. It gets a little cold at night, and I don't have much space, but the bed is warm and soft, and I sink into sleep easily. It's so early in the wee hours of the morning when I hear it. A long note from far away, a low, human-like whistle. It's not bird song or an instrument, it's someone out there. Something out there whistling. I rub my eyes, and I sit up, looking across the room from the circular attic window that faces the pasture and the woods beyond it. The sheep are all in the barn tonight, so there's only one thing out in the field. It's difficult to make out. It's too dark. Only the moon illuminates it. It's dark black, whatever it is, standing up on its hind legs like a person. The only thing about it I can make out are its two golden yellow eyes, like glowing pool balls in its head. I turn to face my window, and I feel that vertigo again, like I'm gonna fall over. And it lets out another long, piercing whistle. I draw the curtains shut tight and crawl back into bed, pretending like I never saw it there, even as it continues to whistle. Dot, dot, dot. When I wake up again, it's to the jarring sound of Luann shrieking outside. I'm shocked awake, rushing out of the room in my pajamas. I fear the worst after last night, even if it was only a dream. When I open the door, everyone is standing out in front of the porch. Luann has her hands over her mouth, and there's vomit on the ground in front of Dash, who leans heavily on the porch against the porch railing. I walk out down the steps, almost on autopilot, blood going cold, and the eyes as big as dinner plates when I look out onto the field. It's like a sick art piece in the pasture. There's a tall Y-shaped branch stuck to the ground, about the height of a stop sign. The ends of the branch are sharpened to the point so that whatever monster made this could stab its prey onto it. There are 5 robins on each half of the Y, stabbed onto their skulls and bellies and wings, mangled and bloody. Around the base of the branch, there are more dead birds, their stomachs split open and guts on display for all to see. Ugh. They litter the field and ring around the branch. I feel sick. I can't move a muscle. My hands are shaking, and I feel like I'm gonna pass out. It's only when I notice James storming up the stairs of the porch past me, swearing like a sailor when I snap out of it. I bet it's those goddamn kids that just moved down the way. I'm gonna show them a piece of my fucking mind. It tells you that much. He snarls, slamming the door open and tumbling up the stairs. Tumbling? What the fuck? Okay. Luann and Prudence rush after him, hoping to calm his nerves, but I say, Dash isn't doing well. I wince when he throws up a second time, letting him breathe. I'll clean it up, okay? I say gently, even though the thought of it makes me want to join him in throwing up. He looks up at me with a weary face. Yeah, he mumbles. I want to say no. Yeah, of course, man. Come on, let's go inside, I say, mustering a weak smile. Dot, dot, dot. It takes a long time to clean it up on my own. I managed to keep last night's dinner in my stomach at least, so that's good. The garbage bag is heavy when I toss it into the trash bin, and my gloves are soaked in bird blood. There's a sink on the side of the barn, and I tug my— Oh my god, I thought he was just cleaning up his throw up. He cleaned up the whole— The blood soaked through my— The blood soaked through my gloves and stained my skin with blood. Damn. So I scrub and scrub, lathering up the yellowing bar of soap nearly stuck to the dish that balances on the basin. The blood running off my hands seems endless, swirling down the drain with water. The stream stops and the pipes groan weakly. My hands pull back instinctively and the tap quivers for a moment before a clot of wet mud, leaves, and feathers splatters against the basin of the sink. Reddened water trickles out of the tap after it drops. I hear it whistle from out in the tree line. I don't want to look. I really don't want to look. The farmhouse feels like it's miles away when I turn and rush back towards it, closing the door behind me with a resounding thud. I shouldn't have come here. None of these are like... They don't have that it factor. They don't have like the shocking... They don't have the shockingness of a lot of them. It's not... My sister went missing. I think I'm next. I was a search and rescue volunteer. Here's a story I want to share with you, but I feel like that's not gonna be scary either. I feel like I should just go for the cliche one. My sister went missing and I think I'm next. Like, it's easy. It seems like it'd be interesting. Let me see how long it is though. Then my best friend, she a real bad bitch, got her own money. Okay, anyways, it's not that long. I received a letter from the man who took my sister yesterday. I came home from work and my roommates yelled, "Hey, you got mail," and handed me a stack of envelopes. My cell phone bill, something about car insurance from a company I don't even use, and a handwritten letter addressed to me with no return address. I opened the letter from the crows, not unlike my own, to fall out. What? I opened the letter and a few curls, not unlike my own, oh, fell out. Oh, I opened the letter and a few curls, not like my own, fell out. So, like, I guess her sister's hair. The letter smelled like my sister's cherry blossom perfume she had been wearing since she was 14. I hadn't smelled it in years. The hair. So similar to my own. Joni has that hair. The spiraling black curls. I let my hair sit on the floor and read. Oh, I let the hair, sit on the floor and I read. My dearest Fiona. Oh my god, it's a long ass letter, okay. My dearest Fiona. The way your hair escapes from your ponytail and wisps around your neck reminds me so much of Joni. Joni was the pinnacle of beauty, but you, my love, are even more beautiful. What the fuck? You don't see me, but I see you. I see you when you walk to your classes, pacing yourself so you're not late. I see you when you sit down at your job, resting your tired legs. How many times I've pictured you wrap those legs around my body. Ugh. I see you with Jeremy, the way he kisses you, the way he touches you, and you let him. I try not to be angry. You don't know the love that's waiting for you, but sometimes I can't help it. Ugh. The first time I saw you, you were so young. You were leaving the cheer competition, watching that best friend of yours. When we're together, I have to discuss with you
your choice of friends. She's not good enough for someone as gentle and as beautiful as you.
I see her sometimes, always with another boy, but never you, my Fiona. You have been with Jeremy since I first known you. He's a good boy, but I will be better to you, my love.
Oh my god. This is fucking creepy.
Oh my god, if I ever got a letter like this in the mail, I would... Oh my god, I don't even know what I would do.
Maybe you're wondering why I took Joni and not you. I wanted you so badly that I would lie awake at night yearning to have your body next to mine.
I feel gross, like, reading it. Like, this. I imagine myself breathing in the soft scent of those beautiful curls. Oh my god. Running my hands along the curve of your hips. But you were so young. I needed to wait. Oh. Joni was a good distraction. You looked so much alike. But Joni was a bad girl. A bad influence on you. I saw her. The drinking, the partying, the arrests. Nothing like you, my love. I took her to hold me over until I could have you, but maybe I took her so she couldn't poison you, and it worked. You're still so gentle and kind, my beautiful good girl. What the fuck? I will always... Okay. Sorry, my friend just texted me. Give me a second. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. This will be the last story, and then I'm ending this episode. Okay. I will be seeing you soon, and we will be together, and I will show you the girl that you never... I will show you the love that you never imagined. Soon, my beautiful girl, soon. Love always, your secret admirer. By the time I finished the letter, I could barely breathe. My roommate asked me what was wrong, but all I could do was let her take the letter out of my hands. She must have read it because a moment later she said, "Fee, we have to call the police." That woke me up, and I immediately dialed Detective Acosta? Acosta, I think. It's A-C-O-S-T-A, so tweet me if I said it wrong. Detective Acosta, who gave special efforts to my sister's missing person case. I gave him a breathless account of what happened, and he immediately rushed over with his partner. They took the letter, which was postmarked just 2 days before. They're checking it for prints, but how many hands has it passed since he mailed it? I was and am terrified. My sister vanished out of thin air. She was heading for a local restaurant for her birth celebration, but never made it. Birth celebration? Who says it like that? I'm assuming birthday celebration? She'd be, but never made it. By the time her friends had called us and we called the police, she'd been missing for 4 hours. Her car was found, but there was no signs of struggle. But her purse and phone were left in the car. They questioned her friends, and they questioned my parents, but everyone had a rock-solid alibi. Other than Detective Acosta, nobody really cared. Joni was wild, and she even had a small criminal record by the time she was 21. Even my parents weren't too concerned, which was a point of bitterness between us, and the number one reason I loved moving out at barely 18. They all thought she just up and decided to run away, start a new life, and leave us behind. This was the first piece of evidence that we received from the case in 5 years. To find out my sister was taken and wasn't safe somewhere out on her own accord was worse than thinking she just left me. I don't know who this could be. I've spent the last 24 hours going over every face I see in my daily life, but I work as a server and attend a moderately sized college. I live in a large town and I see hundreds of faces a day. Detective Acosta has ordered surveillance on me, but my mind is still racing. This man knows where I work, where I go to school. He sees me, but I don't see him. I've already warned my boyfriend Jeremy and his best friend Rhiannon. I'm assuming that's what it is. Rhiannon. They're both staying with me for the next few days. They're not safe either. This man has been watching me for a year. He's seen me at my most intimate moments with Jeremy. He first saw me when I was out of one of Rhiannon's cheer competitions. If he could take my sister to get to me, who else would he be willing to take from me? Acosta think that this could just be a prank. All of the information was public on my Facebook until just a few hours ago. My job, my college, my friends, but we have to be cautious. Joni went missing, and that's enough for me to be scared. And the hair. I know plenty of people who have hair like Joni and myself, but this seems so much effort for a prank. I'll update when I know what's happening. If anyone's been through something similar, please help me. I'm so terrified. Wow. And the art of the quick draw with the big eyes, just gonna be honest. So a lot of these are real, however. Some of them might be fake. I know some of them are fake, but well, that is it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening and supporting my podcast. If you would like to see more of me, you can follow me on my Instagram, my Twitter, and my TikTok. They're all linked in the description box below. And once again, you can check out the No Sleep subreddit, which will be in the description. And yeah, thank you, I will see you guys next week. Bye.